It's 93.7. This is Jason Kruger, and you are listening to The Curve. So coming up on the show today, we have Brandon. We've got the illustrious John Wanza in studio, who's going to be talking about branding and advertising and doing better with your products and getting them out there. How are you doing, John?
Hey, Jason. How you doing, man?
Good, thanks. Here's the easiest question that we can start with.
Yeah.
Who is John Wanza?
Right. That's a good one. Very simple question. Hard to answer, actually. But look, John is a guy who, or rather, I am a person who has always been fascinated by the world of communication in one way or the other.
Yeah.
So from film or advertising. I found myself in branding and communications quite early on in my life when I was probably about sort of 19 years old.
Oh, right.
I worked in an internet cafe in Botswana in Gaborone.
And how long ago was that? Really? Like in the late 90s?
Yeah. You just revealed my age there. No, actually, that was in the early 2000s.
Early 2000s. So broadband was just coming in.
That's right.
I'm just
exactly.
trying to get that. Yeah.
Exactly. And that was the whole buzz around the internet. For the first time, people would sort of jump online and log in. I mean, half of what we used to do initially was just basically helping people set up email addresses.
Yes. And it was
people
Yahoo.
Had never done it. Precisely. Yahoo and Hotmail.
Yeah.
People had never done that before.
I still have my Yahoo address, although I don't use it anymore because a friend of mine is a practical joke.
Yeah,
thought that I won't tell you what sites he did it on, but they were not, let's just say it's illegal in Zambia.
Right.
He thought it would be a good idea because back then, you know, you could enter your email address and they'd send you stuff in your inbox.
That's
and
right.
He went
to
hundreds of sites.
Oh, wow. And registered that email
and registered
address.
And then all of a sudden spam.
Oh, wow.
So I think the last time I tried to open it, it's an email address that I got when I was 16.
Oh, really?
And it was the first email and it was Yahoo Mail.
Yes.
And I've still got it.
Oh, wow.
But the last time I used it to log into Facebook.
Excellent.
So, internet cafe at that time as well, because back then there was no internet on cell phones. There was
Precisely.
No home internet
Precisely.
Either.
No, there wasn't. So it was a real novelty. But then obviously spending your whole day in an internet cafe, you picked up a lot of stuff. So my first experience of Photoshop was from basically sitting there all day and being able to access tutorials online. And in those early days, you know, having a business card, you know, was another novelty. Mm-hmm. So I quickly learned how to do the basics, so you could do a business card, an invitation card, you know, letterheads, and I was able to start making additional income from that. And so it got to a point where I had grown a bit of a reputation for doing flyers for gigs and stuff like that. I was then offered a job by a gentleman from a company called PPCB that at the time they were the largest printer in southern Africa.
Oh, wow.
And they did a whole bunch of telephone directories. I remember sitting there and at this time this is my first sort of proper job, and we were designing the telephone directory for Zambia and Mozambique and Zimbabwe.
Oh, wow.
They're all done from there.
Yeah.
So that then gave me a very solid footing in print and production. But then I soon, you know, basically outgrew it. I think I just needed a new experience.
Mm.
So I came across this working holiday scheme that they had with the British Embassy in Botswana. I applied for that, and 6 months later I was in England. yeah,
just snap, you
just
decided,
like that. Yeah,
nice.
Exactly. I was very lucky. I did a few sort of call center jobs, but then I landed a job as an advertising executive for the Guardian Media Group.
What?
And so my
role, the Guardian Media Group.
Wow. Yes,
okay.
I was based in Surrey, and so I was given like a patch of small English towns, and I would drive around selling advertising space for their range of newspapers.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I did that for a good sort of 4 or 5 years, and towards the end of it, I mean, you know, you literally knew the language. It was a very interesting dynamic, because you know, you go up to every little town had a high street where all the main shops and stuff is, and it was interesting how you know, you engage with them, and they knew exactly what they were sort of looking to get out of the paper, you know?
Yeah.
So for example, every ad that they place would, you know, would have a call to action.
Yeah.
So it could be a voucher, it could be chop up this little piece of paper, and if you bring it in, you get a discount or whatever it is. But
yeah,
that they got that, they had that, you know, and it was very fascinating to see an old lady who runs a flower shop or florists, and they still had those fundamental marketing tactics embedded in them.
Exactly. And it's interesting that you mention that, because firstly, you're in Surrey, you're getting first world experience.
Yeah.
And I hate that term first world, but we'll have to stick to it now.
Sure.
Of advertising practices that have been around since like the 70s, right?
Yeah.
60s, 50s.
Yeah.
And I like what you mentioned, that call to action. But first, you were going door to door to these small businesses,
yes,
these small entrepreneurs.
That's right.
Shoot me if I'm wrong, and I apologize in advance, but I see the advertising industry, and this is my opinion, and you're going to change this over the next couple of weeks during this show. My opinion of Zambian businesses is they are very reluctant to have proper advertising.
That is true.
So if you listen to radio, if you watch TV, it's certain brands. And 100%. These are the big boys.
100%.
And they know how effective these advertising careers are. But to hear smaller businesses, it's very difficult, because
it is.
The first thing that they think about is, oh, I don't have 10,000 kwacha, I don't have 20,000 kwacha to advertise.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that has been, it is what it is in Zambia. I think advertising generally and marketing as a whole has, it's one of those things, it's like dancing.
Mm.
You know, everybody believes they're good at it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. And so a lot of the fundamentals of branding and marketing are ignored in a lot of startups that I see. You know, it's no longer an issue of money, because I think we're now at a point where we've got a lot more. I mean, when I was starting out in this industry here in Zambia some 10 years ago, there were very few skilled designers. But these days, it's mesmerizing to see young guys who could be studying engineering but has a passion in design or illustration.
Mm-hmm.
I regularly work with a guy who's he's a trained surveyor from CBU.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he just grew out of the passion. He flies drones for me. So whenever we're filming, and he's very good at it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, he just spends a lot of time on the internet, reads up on tutorials, and he's been able to really improve. And he's very affordable. You know, so we've got a resource base now.
Yeah.
Where, you know, even if you run a small kiosk, you know, Kantemba, you're still able to get somebody who can, you know, punch out a very good logo for you for less than 300 kwacha.
Exactly. Quacha. Yeah.
So yeah, there's just no excuse anymore.
So we're gonna get back. I wanna unpack this and the industry here in Zambia and why Zambian businesses, and I'm talking about the average mom and pop, what they call in America, like mom and pop,
right?
You know, family business type stuff, not the big corporations and that, not the foreign business, but like local businesses.
Yes.
So you're in Surrey.
Yes.
And you're going door to door. So you're dealing with small businesses.
Yes.
You're getting that experience, which is phenomenal. It's hard.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, trying to get somebody to part with a small business to part with their hard-earned money and a very limited resource to advertise is not an easy thing. How
not
was your experience
all.
With that?
I mean, you know, back then I had long dreadlocks as well. And you know, Surrey being Surrey, I mean, it's a different landscape now, but back then, we're talking early 2003, 2004, put it this way, there was one time, there's this one day after, and I had been working and doing that job for about sort of 4 months, and this one day I came across a black guy on the street, and I had to run to him and say hi to him and actually chat with him. So put it that way, I was a rare commodity there. So you know, naturally, I mean, I did manage to use it to my advantage, and again, it's down to personal branding. In fact, there's an article that was written after I had left. So they called me the king of West Byfleet. So West Byfleet was this patch that I used to run.
Yeah.
But I soon realized, you know, businesses are run by individuals, mm-hmm. you know, and these, I would sit in there, so I'll pop into a shop, it could be Mr. Abrahams who ran a bakery or whatever, and I'd pop in there and literally just engage with them and chat with them. Yeah. And I created friendships with these people.
Yeah.
And it allowed me to really understand their business needs and what their challenges were, you know, and it was from those relationships that I was able to meet my sales targets, which earned me that name. Because we had a good sort of 16 of us, and we were all sort of given little towns to handle.
Yeah.
And for 4 years straight, I met and exceeded my target.
Well, that was fantastic. And I like what you said there, that you personalized it. You spoke to them personally, because I would see that would be quite a great achievement, because as a business owner myself, I've struggled badly with my advertising and that, because you know, you're a startup, you don't really want, the product's not right where you want it to be yet, and stuff like that. But you know, my main concern as a business is, I am spending this money now. What is my return on investment? 100%. What am I going to get back?
100%.
And that's something, again, that we're going to pack over the next couple of weeks.
Yes,
like
indeed.
Really seriously proper stuff.
Yes, indeed.
So Suri, you left?
So yeah, after that I left, and I ended up working for the Mayor of London, Ken Livingstone, by then.
What? Dude.
So I worked for RUDI. It was under the London City Council. It was a very different job from what I was doing before.
Yeah.
Very interesting. My role involved what they called community engagement. And community engagement is basically going to a dodgy neighborhood, and you had to get as many people to sign the petition that they are happy to be moved from that neighborhood.
Oh.
Because the council was going to tear that down and build a shopping mall. So
oh, wow.
So yeah, it was very interesting, to say the least.
Did you fear for your life?
Of course. You should try. And you know, in a British, typical British winter, you know, it gets dark from about sort of 4 or 5 o'clock, five at the latest, and you're in the corridors of this council estate in Brixton, it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, I mean, you're going there to evict people out of their homes with a smile on your face and dreadlocks. You know, hey.
Yeah. So you had to charm them. Actually, you had to charm them into them agreeing to be evicted or to be removed from there. And because of the fact that a lot of people worked during the day, you had to get your timing right. So you had to be there in the evenings, and you'd literally be walking through these little corridors, and you could see little bits of smoke, you know, coming out from beneath the doors with reggae music.
And the dreadlocks helped, right?
You use what you have. And I think from my perspective, that's where an element of personal branding comes in. You know, I think you had to adopt to the environment that you're thrown into. You know, so I used that earlier in Sari, and you know, Sari generally has the more sort of very polished upper class or middle class English people. You know, so you had to carry yourself a certain way, 100%. And then obviously in Brixton, you know, you had to fit the part. You couldn't be seen to be very educated or polished. You had to speak in a certain way, you know?
Be a bit rough
around the edges,
Well, what the Surrey people would call rough, what the people in Brixton would be like normal.
Yes.
You're okay now.
Yes.
So then the mayor, the community, kicking people out of their homes.
That's right, yeah. So did that for a while, and then went traveling, which was also quite eye-opening. But then I did do a one-year contract with a company called the Enviropedia down in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting dynamic, because it's an NGO that basically looks at marine life, and so they had this publication that, interesting enough, had Sasol as a main sponsor, and they basically were an environmental NGO but using publications to raise awareness and stuff. So my role there was literally to oversee the bringing on board of new businesses that wanted to be aligned with this environmental the drive to be environmentally friendly, as well as overseeing the design and layout of the publication that we produced. So the publication was called the Enviropedia, and I love that name. You know, it's an encyclopedia for the environment.
That's
you know,
really cool.
You know, and that's so there you go for branding. And that was coined by the MD David Parry Davis, who at that time was in his late 60s.
And you know? And I mean, Cape Town, they're quite crafty there when it comes to branding and marketing.
Yes,
and that.
Yes, very savvy. Very
you know,
savvy.
A lot of startups in Cape Town that are in technology. You know, a lot of branding agencies, head offices are in Cape Town.
That's
Cape Town
right.
is beautiful.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It when is. It's not raining.
Yeah.
In the winter. Yeah.
Yeah, and when it's got water.
Yes, true.
That's another
issue.
I think
they sorted that out now.
Have they?
Yeah, I think they might
the
have
irony of Cape Town being at the coast and not having water. It's at some point they told people not to have swimming water in their swimming pools.
No, that's people were using the swimming pools for the water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it, and we could speak hours for this, which we're not going to do because we're running out of time.
Sure.
They've known about it for 20 years since 1997. They knew there was like this weather pattern is coming in 20 years. Mm. You better have water. Psh, no one thought about it.
So they were looking at the wrong table. So they were looking at Table Mountain as opposed to the water table. Then.
Exactly. So we could. I really want to finish your story, and I expected you like I'm John Wanza. I do this, but it's actually you've got such an interesting story. Specifically, what John is doing for us here. We're going to talk about Mojo now,
sure.
Because you Enviropedia.
Then Mojo was the next stop. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so then you came back to Zambia.
I came back to Zambia, and I mean, for me, I did some work with a company called Inzi for a few months.
I know Vatis.
With Vatis, and then I set up Mojo shortly after that. And to start off with, I mean, it was basically starting from the ground up.
Mm.
Literally started off with designing business cards and letterheads, and for me, the key thing there was. A lot of the times you'd find a client would come to you and say, look, I want a business card designed. And they wouldn't have given any thought whatsoever to what colors they would need. And, and most of them wouldn't even have a logo. So they'll just need like the name of their company in there. And so it was my role to slowly educate these people to say, look, actually what you want is a brand. So when you develop a brand, you have to have one, two, three colors. Or they might say, look, yes, I want to have, I want to start a new brand of water and red is my favorite color. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. No,
red
there's a reason.
Doesn't work.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, and you know, you have to have a slogan that sort of, you know, gives a hint or brand promise of the nature of your business. You know, so it was literally starting from that. And what I found was that when you started off with small things like business cards, the next thing is a letterhead. Then the next thing they'll come back. Oh, can I have an invoice book and quotation book? And before you know, because they're using you, the same person, you'd have consistency. And if there's one thing that the brand is about,
it's consistency.
It's consistency.
Exactly.
Yeah. You need to see. So you log on to the website. It needs to look the same. A Facebook page. You have to have. Because what is a brand if not a list of or bunch of attributes coming together to create the brand's character?
Polish,
that's basically what it is. So all those elements have to come together to speak one language.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it was interesting. The few companies that I worked with from scratch, from we're setting up a company, we don't even know what we're going to call it yet. And being able to get to work with those guys to the point where now they've be one or two are actually household names.
And, you know, I love that because you get to start with them right in the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't
have
to deal with people whose experiences, you're an advertising specialist.
Yeah.
But they know better than you do.
Yes, well, that's usually the case.
It's usually the case. So Mojo started out really, really small. It's funny how you went back to the business cards, which you started out with.
100%. I came full circle. I came full circle. And so as we started to expand, I got a business partner on board. And I was the big break that I got at that time was the rebranding of Covermont Bank to Covermont. It was Covermont Merchant Bank. And so they did the whole rebrand.
And you did that.
I did that. Yeah,
it
that
was very
that was,
good.
Yeah. So I spent a bit of time with Capricorn Investment Holdings, which is in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to fly down there and learn about the brand. And again, you know, I think it was the foresight of the then MD, a gentleman by the name of Johan Minar.
Mm-hmm.
And he really got the essence of what a brand should be like and how that should permeate through every single employee and every single facet of their business. So they flew me over there for a couple of weeks to just basically learn from the head office what that brand stood for. And it was very interesting to be able to see how that comes alive in all these different, because for them, they took it seriously. I mean, if you were sitting in a boardroom, you'd have your water in a branded glass.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is internal. A lot of times, businesses tend to think that branding is for external purposes.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to think that the brand is for other people to see, but actually, it's just as important internally for people to constantly remind themselves of what the brand stands for. Because actually, when you have a very strong brand identity, your character and the way you do business, the way you talk, should be in line with that brand.
Exactly.
So even when we got back, we started rebranding literally every single branch, all the paperwork and all that sort of stuff. And it was interesting then that the next step, the next logical step, was to educate the internal team on this new brand. So yeah, we did that, and Mojo sort of grew from stage to stage.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, and we started taking on bigger and bigger clients. The internal team grew. I got a business partner on board, and together we got a big office down in Joker Road.
I've actually sang there.
You've recorded some music there, yes.
I was on, what's his name, Mumbayachi's.
That's right,
I still
right,
haven't
yeah.
heard that song yet.
Oh, have you not?
No. And he was telling me that you guys were doing
a video. It's on YouTube. It's actually on YouTube.
What?
There's an animated video of you and Mumbayachi as cartoons rowing down the river with you playing the harmonica.
What?
Yeah. I will share the link. I will share the link.
Because when he told me about it, I was really, really excited. And yeah. I remember you just saying, you know, I was recording something else there for, I can't remember who I was recording for, but I was doing this recording and then Mumba came in the studio and I just so happened to have my harmonicas on.
Yeah, exactly.
And 10 points for the studio. I love it how you set it up and there's guitars and everything on the wall.
Yeah, so the whole idea there was to basically provide a one-stop solution. I mean, the idea there was, look, you come into this place, you can have your designs done, you can have your photography, because we had a photography studio, we had a film production studio, as well as the music studio. And for good measure, we threw in a swimming pool and a bar area as well.
Exactly, yeah. And we have had quite a few good parties.
We did have a lot of good parties there, yeah.
So we're talking to John Mwanza right now on 93.7 Money FM. You can call us on 0211-252227. That's 0211-252227. Go to www.moneyfmzambia.com. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more of how Mojo then merged and mused, and I don't know what you want to call it, butterflied into new entity that it is. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
That's definitely something that's really cool that's going on right now. We're sitting in the studio with John Mwanza, who's extrapolated on his journey from Botswana all the way to the UK, back to Cape Town, to Zambia, how you started up Mojo, where I've enjoyed some of Mojo's services. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that video. I want to look at it right now. Yeah, because Mumbayachi, obviously a good friend of mine, and he was chatting to me, and he came, oh, yeah, yes. You know, we did this video, and we got it, and I was like, where's
good
the
impression.
Video?
Yeah. Good impression.
and so then Mojo, the last time that I was there, great offices. I know there was a lot more people. Big entity.
The company grew quite fast. I mean, it got to a point where we had to separate the music to be a standalone entity.
Yeah.
So at some stage, then we sort of broke it up. And so we had Mojo New Media, which was the advertising arm, and then we had Mojo Music, which was registered as an entity on its own. And we were doing some great stuff. For example, one of the big campaigns we did, you might remember, there was a big activation that we did around the country.
Yeah.
So it was a series of concerts. We literally took it right across the country in all 10 provinces. And what we would do is we'd turn up into small towns and villages and literally just play music and have braais. So that was, so I mean, we were looking for a way to sort of bring that the Zambia brand back into the hearts of Zambians.
Yeah.
And like, what better way than celebrate
to actually
it with
just
food.
Have a braai.
In fact, that's where Zamfest was born. Zamfest was actually born out of those activations.
So
we said
we've
gone right around the country having these barbecues and braais with people and sharing music and good times. So why not have one big one to end it all in Lusaka?
Yeah.
And we're now looking at our third year next year. That sort of took on a life of its own.
Yeah, I see that. Last year, Cactus Agony, a good friend of mine, he was performing and he said that it was nuts this year.
Like
15,000 people.
It was great attendance. And MTN came on board and they're really keen. They're a very good partner. And so we're just looking to expand that. It's very interesting, again, how brands tend to evolve. And I think we're going to be touching up on all of that because that's equally as relevant. Well, so I think as in the coming shows, we will need to look at the evolution of certain brands.
Yes, yeah.
And how you can carry out a quick assessment on whether your brand is still relevant at any one time.
Exactly.
So that's something that we can touch up on. But so back to Mojo. We then met with SuperSport had just come into Zambia at the time.
Yeah.
And they looked at our television studio and said, great, we want you guys to produce a show for us called Bola Yapa Z.
So you're behind Bola Yapa Z.
I saw
billboards for it. Yeah.
Yes. So we've been doing that show with Cleo. Yeah. We auditioned Cleo. And so that relationship basically grew and expanded. And we ended up having to register another entity called Mojo Business Solutions.
Yeah.
Which it's that layers upon layers.
Yeah.
So that ended up then being the operational arm for SuperSport. And we basically hired. So we recruited camera crew and the technical crew on behalf of SuperSport.
Yeah.
So whenever there's a production, literally every single football match you've seen from the past sort of 2.5 years, that's been our guys.
Amazing. And then a brand new development as well. Well, not brand new, but I mean, since I've heard about it, you're no longer Mojo right now.
No. So again, morphed.
Morphed.
Yes.
Pivoted, twisted.
Yes. That's right.
Grew into a butterfly. Yeah, whatever.
That's right. So we were an affiliation of a group called Dentsu Aegis Network.
Yeah.
They're a big network. In fact, at the moment, they're the second largest advertising network in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're a small part of a really, really big operation. So initially, we were affiliates.
Yeah.
So they'd give us work and we'd do that. But now we have, so we merged and saying, look, we needed to set up one entity in order to better serve our clients.
Mm.
And so we now, what used to be Mojo New Media is now Dentsu Aegis Network Zambia.
All right.
And I know it's a mouthful.
It is.
So we call it DAN.
DAN.
Yeah.
DAN.
DAN Z.
And so as we wrap up.
Yes.
Basically, what we're looking at, and I'm very happy that you're on board with this.
Sure.
And you're the first person that I reached out to because I knew, based on your experiences and that, I specifically like your experience that you've had going door to door in Surrey dealing with small businesses.
That's right, yeah.
Because I would like more and more small businesses to become more profitable and have better advertising campaigns. As you say, have a better voice
100%
for their product.
100%.
And that's what we're going to be doing. There was so much, like, I wanted you to talk about challenges in the industry today and the solutions and all of that. But I think today was just more along the lines of setting up your credentials. So setting up your voice so that people, when we talk about this is what you should be doing, they're like, okay. We know John knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think there's a lot that we obviously are going to need to cover.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think one of the prevailing perceptions is that a brand is a logo, and so I think that needs to be challenged. You know, we need to basically break down to say what constitutes a brand, you know, and where do all these little other bits and pieces fit? What is a priority and stacking order in terms of branding elements?
Yeah.
You know, and what are the? Because another key thing we need to, you know, that a lot of marketers and advertisers sort of lose sight of is the fact that as human beings, we're emotionally driven. You know, a good percent, I think if not sort of 90 to 95% of our decisions, purchase decisions, are emotional and not logical.
Yeah.
And have you ever walked out of a supermarket and thought, why did I buy that?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Because it's an emotional connection.
It's an emotional connection. Yeah. So again, I think another aspect that we're going to cover as we carry on with these talks is how you can create platforms to spark and foster emotional connections between your brand and the target audience. So those are really interesting areas that I think we're going to have a lot of fun exploring.
Sort of like going and taking a product that's meat around the country
100%.
And putting it in people's hands.
That's right. Yeah.
One of the things that scared me once when I was, I dabbled with having my own agency with a partner for about a year.
Right.
I closed it down. It wasn't for me.
Mm.
But one of the things that I saw that kind of scared me going into it is walking in and seeing companies' brand manuals.
Yes.
And it was like, wow, this is how far you guys go.
Yeah.
And it's like every page is branded with the colors, and this color means that, this color means that, and you must use this font, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and don't ever say this, and you must say this whenever you talk. And I'm sure you've noticed it, you know, when some people answer their phone, we won't mention, but, you know, Zambia's number one network when you phone the call center. And it's all about branding and how you speak to people and that.
100%.
And 100%. I'm looking forward to a nice, good, deep dive here. Figuring out exactly what it is that we're doing, what needs to be done as a Zambian business, from a low-hanging fruit all the way to, like, once you start earning money now, these are the avenues you can spend.
That's right.
Not just telling somebody, go and spend 15,000 kwacha on a billboard.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And I'd also, I'm quite keen to touch on a lot of the free publicity platforms that are out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's one thing that, you know, yes, you do have to invest money to grow and nurture a brand, but I think we're lucky enough to be living in a digital age that provides a lot of free platforms where you can literally gain traction with very little financial input. Yes, there's going to be a physical manpower and thought input, but I think when you get it right, it could work very well.
Yeah.
So
because I would be honest with you, when I started my business, having had an agency that dabbled in, and we concentrated more along the lines of activations and that.
Sure.
I was like, okay, I kind of know what we're talking about. You know, and then I started my company, and it's like, I have no idea of what I'm doing. This is scary, so I'm just going to put it in a dark corner somewhere and hope that I never have to deal with it again. So definitely, John, thank you very much. Your story, dude.
It's
well
been
done.
An absolute pleasure. It's been an absolute
and,
pleasure. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to getting, like, because I want to use it for my own company. Big things are happening.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that I get it done properly. And this is the right way to do it.
Yes.
Branding, you know, all the way from visual identity to what's your archetype, your tone of voice.
Yes.
There's so much that we can have a chat on.
Yes.
And John Wan's in the studio with us all the way from Mojo Media, who's going to be joining us on a weekly basis. This show is every day at 14 every week on a Thursday at 14 hours and we're going to unpack and give you really, really strong, solid information that you can then take and hopefully get better communications in your business and money.
We'll brand you later.
Exactly.